Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. Today, I want to begin in a small and to most a very obscure book of the Old Testament. That book called Habakkuk. These are interesting revelations that are found in Habakkuk. It's a book written by a prophet, probably about 25, 30 years before the Babylonians take siege of Jerusalem and carry 650,000 Jews into captivity. I'm not going to go verse by verse, but it's so applicable, so pertinent to today. I really think it's worth taking a look at it. I hope you'll open your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk and go along with me. It says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He opens with a question. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Any of you crying to the Lord and thinking he doesn't hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why does that do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me. Does it sound pertinent to today? And there are that rise up strife and contention. Some things remain the same. Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth. For the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceeds. He talks about a people. He's talking about the Babylonians. He says in the ninth verse, they shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold. The institutions of the United States are under attack. For they shall heap dust and take it. Now listen to this. These people that God is showing Habakkuk, who are going to come against God's people, this is their mind. Then, when they think they're accomplishing things, then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto God. Watch out for self-righteous people. And then Habakkuk complains, talking to God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. What are you using these people for to come against your people? Your people are better, and you're using these people who are worse to correct us? He goes on to say, of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously? Holdest thou tongue and when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Folks, God does what he wants. I'm hoping that you can see the parallels. And we go to the second chapter, and Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what shall I answer when I am reproved. If you have your Bibles open, you need to underline this second through fourth verse of chapter 2. And here's the Lord's response. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables. God, when he met Moses on Mount Sinai, wrote the law on tables of stone. God now says, make this message clear, write it on stone, that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. A vision's coming. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, King James here needs a little correction, because this pronoun, it, is really in the masculine. So it should read better, but at the end, he shall speak and not lie. Though he tarry, wait for him, because he will surely come. He will not tarry. Behold, his soul is lifted up, is not upright in him. God speaking again of self-righteousness, which causes this clay to somehow justify itself. But here's God's answer. But, King James, but the just shall live by his faith. Whose faith? The one that's coming. The one that may appear to tarry. The one that we are to wait for. The one who will surely come. He will not tarry. God says, the just shall live by his faith. Now, years ago, my pastor, and God calls true pastors his gifts to the church, having a command of the Hebrew tongue, unlike few in the world, when he gets to exegeting the Hebrew of this fourth verse of the second chapter of Hebrews, he translates it this way. Write it down. The righteous of me ones, God speaking, by the amen, that is the no doubt confidence, the no doubt of him, that is Jesus. And Jesus had no doubt. He went into the grave. He gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. But he went into the grave. But he had no doubt, because the Father promised that he would raise him up. That's why the resurrection is the foundation of the faith and hope of Christianity. Excuse me, I opened by saying, you know, this little obscure book. But we find the Apostle Paul, the one responsible for two-thirds of the writing of the New Testament, we find him taking this verse in what I believe to be three of his most important epistles, the Epistle of Romans chapter 1:17, the Epistle of to the Galatians chapter 3:11, and to the Hebrews chapter 10:38, to the Romans, Paul's great exegete of Christianity, to the Galatians, his protest against traditions, to the Hebrews, his great opening up of the Old Testament, in particular, through the elements and of the tabernacle, wherein we see every part speaks of Jesus. And in these three great epistles, Paul, as a centerpiece, says, the just shall live by faith. In Romans, it's emphasis is on the just, and let me correct again by the original languages. It is the righteous by faith shall live. That's what's being declared in Romans. The emphasis is on righteousness. In Galatians, it's life. It's to live. The just shall live by faith. And in Hebrews, it is the righteous shall live by faith. This is a faith ministry, and that based on God's word, that based on what God said, because what he says, it shall be, whether we see it or not. Habakkuk tells us to wait on him. If you think that you're in the midst of the kingdom of God right now, in the flesh, think again. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." But he also said that the kingdom of God is within you. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is the one called the Comforter. He brings us God's word. He reminds us of his promises. Wherein we may have confidence in, and we may boldly speak his promises. Habakkuk is going to go on and describe the judgment of the unrighteous. And it's not very pretty. He will say in chapter 2, verse 18, "What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof has graven it, the molten image, and the teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein, self-made men, to make dumb idols?" He's going to go on and prophesy in the third chapter. And he says, "God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran." Think about that. "His glory covereth the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, as his brightness was a light, and his horns," that is his power, "coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went pestilence and burning coals," diseases, "went forth at his feet. Before God comes, what proceeds? Pestilence, diseases, I love this book of Habakkuk. He says in the 16th verse, "When I heard all this," I hope you go and read it for yourselves, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest. In the day of trouble, when he cometh up unto the people, he will invade. The alternative in the King James is, cut in pieces them with his troops. I don't know what you're all facing today. I see so many reports. Of depression, of lack of money, of inability to work. But this is why I love this little book of Habakkuk, because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that the righteous by faith shall live. He, listen to how he ends this little 3-chapter book. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That's a pretty desperate situation, folks. Any of you feeling desperation? Have you ever felt this way? Habakkuk has this wonderful response. He says, yet, in spite of all this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He says, yet I will rejoice in Jehovah. And we know through Jesus who Jehovah is. He is our Father. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the God. And the Word was God. Who's the God of our salvation? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of Jehovah. He says, I will rejoice in Jehovah. And I will joy. And I always, when I encounter this word, like to give this little understanding that happiness is a feeling. It comes and goes. Sometimes the stalls are full, sometimes they're empty. Sometimes the field has flocks, sometimes not. But joy comes with understanding. And when you understand, that cannot be taken away, ever. Understanding is part of that gift of God called the Holy Spirit. In spite of his circumstance, Habakkuk says, "The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds feet. He will make me walk upon my high places." Jesus speaking, "My kingdom is not of this world." As Paul closes that 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it opens with the 11th chapter, and it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Habakkuk did not experience the high places to walk on. That 11th chapter of Hebrews called Heroes of Faith speaks of so many of the people of the Old Testament. It says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." 6th verse says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must faith that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We attempt to diligently present God's word that you might be persuaded of God, of his gospel, of his great grace and mercy. Speaking of those heroes of faith, it says, and truly in the 15th verse of the 11th chapter, "And truly if they have been mindful of that from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." It's eternal life Christianity is about. And the promise of God is that day by day the inward man is renewed. We need to focus where God would have us focus, folks, on the things eternal, for he has called us and chosen us in Jesus Christ to spend eternity with him. If this message seems at the moment to be out of your reach, claim that promise of Habakkuk that God will be your strength. Claim that promise of God that the Lord is our shepherd and he leads us. He restores our soul. He leads us in the paths of righteousness, not ours, of his righteousness. And therefore, we with Habakkuk can say, "I will rejoice in the Lord and will joy upon the God of my salvation." Vation.